turn in the scriptures now to Ezekiel chapter 46. In Ezekiel chapter 46, we'll read verses 1 through 24. Ezekiel 46, 1 through 24. Ezekiel 46, we'll start in verse 1. These are the words of our God. Thus says the Lord God, the gates of the inner court facing east shall be shut the 6 working days, but it shall be opened on the Sabbath day and opened on the day of the new moon. The prince shall enter by way of the porch of the gate from outside and stand by the post of the gate. Then the priest shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate and then go out. But the gate shall not be shut until the evening. The people of the land shall also worship at the doorway of that gate before the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons. The burnt offering, which the prince shall offer to the Lord on the Sabbath day, shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And the grain offering shall be an ephah with the ram. And the grain offering with the lambs, as much as he is able to give, and a hin of oil with an ephah. On the day of the new moon he shall offer a young bull without blemish, also 6 lambs and a ram, which shall be without blemish. And he shall provide a grain offering, an ephah with the bull and an ephah with the ram, and with the lambs as much as he is able, and a hin of oil with an ephah. When the prince enters, he shall go in by way of the porch of the gate and go out by the same way. But when the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed feast, he who enters by way of the north gate to worship shall go out by way of the south gate, and he who enters by way of the south gate shall go out by way of the north gate. No one shall return by way of the gate by which he entered, but shall go straight out. When they go in, the prince shall go in among them, and when they go out, he shall go out. At the festivals and the appointed feast, the grain offering shall be an ephah with a bull and an ephah with a ram, and with the lambs as much as one is able to give, and a hin of oil with an ephah. When the prince provides a freewill offering, a burnt offering, or peace offerings as a freewill offering to the Lord, the gate facing east shall be opened for him, and he shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he does on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and the gate shall be shut after he goes out. And you shall provide a lamb, a year old, without blemish for a burnt offering to the Lord daily. Morning by morning you shall provide it. Also you shall provide a grain offering with it morning by morning, a 1/6 of an ephah and 1/3 of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour, a grain offering to the Lord continually by a perpetual ordinance. Thus they shall provide the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil morning by morning for a continual burnt offering. Thus says the Lord God, if the prince gives a gift out of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift from his inheritance to one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of liberty, then it shall return to the prince. His inheritance shall be only his sons. It shall belong to them. The prince shall not take from the people's inheritance, thrusting them out of their possession. He shall give his sons' inheritance from his own possession, so that my people will not be scattered, any one from his possession. Then he brought me through the entrance, which was at the side of the gate, into the holy chambers for the priest, which faced north, and behold, there was a place at the extreme rear toward the west. He said to me, this is the place where the priest shall boil the guilt offering and the sin offering, and where they shall bake the grain offering, in order that they may not bring them out into the inner court, outer court to transmit holiness to the people. And he brought me out into the outer court and led me across to the four corners of the court. And behold, in every corner of the court there was a small court. And the four corners of the court there were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 wide. These four and the corners were the same size. There was a row of masonry round about in them, around the four of them, and boiling places were made under the rows round about. Then he said to me, these are the boiling places where the ministers of the house shall boil the sacrifices of the people. And that is God's word. So here, beloved, is the vision. We see in it the remnant being given promises that some have to do with rebuilding the temple. And when that happens in the future from this point, The ceremonial law is to be still in place, and that's what he's been talking about. Most of the chapters here have been talking about ceremonial law and what the priests do and the holiness code and all that. Here, no different, as we see in verses 1 through 15, that there were certain things that needed to be done in his worship when the temple was rebuilt. And yet we also know that as certain things need to be done in the temple when it's rebuilt, there's also in the future fulfillment of the temple as a whole. But here, verses 1 through 15, certain things need to be done that pointed to Christ. And that revolved around what the priests were to do in the sacrifices, as well as the people and their coming and how they were to worship in the temple. And then some instructions are given on how the ruler of the people, the prince, was to gift his inheritance, if he gifted part of it before his death. And we see in verse 17, the year of liberty, in the words there, the year of liberty, they're speaking of the year of Jubilee. Like we heard in Exodus 21 about slaves being set free before the sixth year, every 49 years when the year of Jubilee came. And then the rest of the passage deals with places the priests were to do certain sacrifices and offerings and the boiling of those sacrifices in the four corners. And so here again, beloved, not only showing, of course, as we know, that Christ is the fulfillment of these things here in his life and in his death and in his resurrection, but showing also appropriately us the need we have to be holy in God's worship, as they were to be holy in God's worship, especially, as it says here, the priests, as we now are in Christ, the royal priesthood. And so let us be holy in worship, for our God is holy. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you in Christ that those things which were complex and rigorous and many, many laws, that in Christ now our worship has been simplified, for all those things fulfilled in Christ. And now our worship is simple and easy to grasp, for it is you who speak by your Son, the crucified and risen Savior. And Father, we come and in our worship, we pray that we, having committed sin, even now in this time, we've committed sin, maybe in thoughts, being distracted or wandering thoughts. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We desire to have that fear of the Lord where we revere you and have that reverence of you, but also stand in awe of your wonders and all that you've done for us in Christ. And how difficult that is for us, especially when we come to the public worship of God and we understand that there is remaining sin, and how often we just become comfortable or complacent in our activities here, our worship here. And so we pray that we would worship you in spirit, that is, with our hearts, and that we would tremble in our coming before you, for you are the holy Lord. And thankfully, in Christ you have made us a holy people. You've called us saints. And so we are set apart and holy. So Father, we ask that as we are set apart and you've declared us holy, we pray that we would be holy in our lives, in our faith, in our lives, and that you would be blessed and glorified in our worship. Father, again, we're thankful for Christ. And Father, we also lift up our many petitions unto you. We pray for our government, as we did last week. We prayed for our government that they would protect us and that they would also encourage our worship. And Father, we also prayed for, in that same prayer, for John, Becky's husband, that he would be able to come, even as our nation or government would seek to defend us or protect us from harm. And Father, it seems that you have answered our prayers, even though it seems perhaps to us contrary to what ought to happen in man's sight. Because what ought to have happened is, if our government acted as it has and blocking certain types of people due to fear of terrorism act or terrorist acts, that would mean that John wouldn't be able to come. And yet, Father, even now he's been given approval to come, and we pray that everything would be worked out in accordance with that, and we praise your holy name for answering our prayers. We pray that it would not just be a false glimmer of hope, but that it would truly come about, that he would be here on March 10th and being able to travel on March 9th. Father, may that be your will. We pray for your will to be done. And we know that you work all things together for our good no matter what happens, because we trust your providence. Your providence is always right and always just, always merciful. And so, Father, we trust you and your plan. Father, we also ask that you would be with our family members. So we think of Jody and Renee traveling this week here. Pray that you would give them safety, and that they would be able to accomplish everything that needs to be done this week with Phyllis. And Father, we ask that you would be with all of us, that you would keep our bodies strong and healthy, that you would make us enable us to serve you and worship you, not only with our souls, but with our bodies and with all the energy that you provide us. Father, we also ask that you would be with our souls, that you would make us holy, again, as we've just prayed, and you would sanctify us and cleanse us of our sin, and you would make us to be like your Son, Jesus. That we would be righteous as he is righteous and holy as he is holy. Lord, again, we pray that you would work all things together for our good, for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, and that we would see and know, if we have believed the gospel, that we are heirs, adopted into your family, made children of the living God. And Father, we're thankful for the promises, the many promises throughout Scripture that in you are yes and amen. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.